Okay. Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. You know, when I'm reading it, it's never that hard. only when you're trying to pronounce it. Yes, in action. But we'll go back again. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And Father, we thank you for another opportunity to continue our studies together. We're praying, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things. We thank you for all those who are joining us today and all those who may hear. We pray that our hearts and minds might be strengthened through reading of your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're headed down here in Exodus, and there's a lot of things that we are skipping, but we're just trying to hit some maybe more important things that stand out, more important events. Before we pick up in verse 4 or chapter 14, I thought about asking you guys this. Think about it for a minute. Don't just say the first thing you think of. We've covered several characters up to this point, and now we're in Moses. Is there anything that stands out to you that these characters have in common? I'm not looking for a particular answer. I just want to see, as we went over these things, what may stand out to you guys.
Service.
Service, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Service. Anybody else? That's the main thing.
Moments of doubt.
Doubt. Okay. There's no wrong answer. Now, if nothing stands out, then that's okay too.
I'm just thinking that regardless, it's sinful man that God still has to guide along, but he picked them because of their faith.
So even though they're flawed, they do exhibit faith in what God is doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sure they slip just like we do. So.
And sure. And God uses flawed men.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I just asked that question because it helps me. One of the simple things I thought of is they're all men. Not that it's not being in a chauvinistic way, but that's how God has decided to operate, is through men, through his chosen men.
The right order.
Say it again.
It's the right order.
Yes. Okay. And he does use women. We just saw in Exodus where he made the women, the Hebrew women, he made them houses. He used them to reproduce more men and more women, I'm sure. But those things, they help as we go forward, because sometimes you'll read these things and you kind of forget there's a commonality that is being displayed by these men. Not just they're fallen. We know they're fallen images. They have to be, because from Adam, all men became sinners. They're going to fall short in some way or another. They also typify in some aspect what the Lord will do when he comes. So we see, going through these different characters, how God is using them. He's foreshadowing, typifying something that he's going to get done with the right man, with the right son. And we keep these things in mind. The service that they put in is the shadow. Their faith is the shadow. When we see the Lord Jesus shows up, he answers all the questions that these men have. When I say he answers all the questions, the challenges that they had, the Lord is able to take all those things and overcome. In Hebrews, I think it said he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He had to make the same choices that all these men were confronted. Do I trust Jehovah completely, or am I going to falter? Well, he didn't. Thank God he didn't. What we'll read is how these men, in some way or another, they faltered. So thank you for that input. I just wanted to make sure that we were taking something away that helps us. And also, when we read these characters, read about these characters, you're going to see that the number follows them. Do you remember us talking about that? Anybody remember that?
What do you mean by the number?
Okay. Does anybody remember that before I answer that? Okay. Then we'll answer that. When I say the number will follow them, it's going to be 1 or 10 or 100 or 1,000. That number is what I would call the image number. It'll fit into their events. Somewhere in there, you're going to see those things. For example, Adam, he's the first man. And when you go 10 men down, then you had Noah. And you go 10 men down from Noah, then you get Abraham. And Abraham, when Abraham's 100 years old, he begets Isaac. I'll repeat those things as we go along because, like I said, it's easy to forget. And it might be a little more than we take in week to week. But it does help. And Moses is our next character. And we'll see as we go along if the number shows up again. Because all these men are doing, in their capacity, they're trying to worship and serve. They're trying to be available for service as much as they can be used because of their limitations. We're back in Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before. That's funny.
Yeah, you're going to know those by the time we're done with this verse today.
I am. What I thought of was, well, let me read this. Chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh shall say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, we just came out of chapter 13. Chapter 13, how many plagues did God put on Pharaoh and the Egyptians?
10.
We just talked about it. 10. Pharaoh and all the plagues, he refused to do what?
Let the people go.
He refused to let the people go. Verse 4, 14, 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be
honored
upon Pharaoh. As of yet, he would not honor the Lord. It starts off, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go. And he said, you don't know me yet, but you will. He said, I think, what was that? That you're going to learn today. And God, he continues to reach out to Pharaoh with the voices of the signs. So it wasn't 3 signs or 4 signs? Wasn't 5? Why 10? Why 10 signs?
Because that's the number of honor.
And God says, he's going to honor me.
And there were 10 gods that they were worshiping, right?
They all...
Not 10, but they were all related to gods.
Yes.
Little g gods.
Yes, little g gods. Since you mentioned that, go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. And this is about the Passover. Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. There's the one. And for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. We say, I know you've heard this before, different churches, they'll say, praise the Lord, for he's what? Worthy to be praised. Maybe they didn't say that in other churches, but that's the standard. Praise the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. Those are for people who know the Lord. And sometimes, like in Pharaoh's case, the Lord has to get them up to that point. And in Pharaoh's case, it's not a good way that he gets to that point. I didn't find this verse last week, and I'm going to see if I can find it this week. How long are we going to do this? Yeah. I'm not going to find it.
Yeah, I'm looking, but I'm not finding anything. How long?
Well, back to 14 in verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did. So these things, all these plagues, they began to, as they multiply, and some of those people, they believed. Some of the Egyptians, they believed. That was back in, I think, plague number 4 or 5. The scripture said, and he that, in chapter 9, verse 20, says, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Some of these Egyptians, they see these things happening and they begin to believe. We'll find out when they come out of Egypt, they come out as a mixed multitude. It wasn't just all Hebrews that came out. Some of the Egyptians, they tagged along too. So we see the last...
Edward G. Robinson?
I don't know who that is.
It was in the Ten Commandments movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Gentile that tried. Anyway, sorry.
I didn't know who that was. Hey. But now I know.
Hey, Frank.
Yes.
There's Exodus 10:3, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? And then there's 10:7, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? That's when Pharaoh's servants were asking. And then 16:28, how long refuse ye? Nimrod, not 16. So is it 10:3 or 10:7?
Yes.
That you were looking for?
Okay. Well, you read them, but we'll read them again. We'll read both of those. And 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. So even the Lord is giving him opportunity. You can't win. When God says, for this cause, in Romans, for this cause, and in Exodus, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. This is how God raises Pharaoh up. He raises him up simply by removing the previous plague. See, if I tell you I'm going to punish you for your wrongdoing, and then I punish you and I remove the punishment, I'm hoping that you learn. But if the more you're punished, and once the punishment has been served, you don't learn.
You get.
You don't learn. Yeah, you don't learn a lesson.
You get more ticked off.
And that's what you see with Pharaoh. He begins to become harder and harder. The Lord is saying, this won't get any better for you. How long?
It won't get any easier.
it won't get easier. How long? Verse 7. And Pharaoh's servant said, well, let's go back to verse 6. And they shall fill thy, these are the locusts, and they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy father's fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? The Pharaoh's servants, they're looking around saying, let them go. Let them go already. There's nothing left here. But he doesn't. He's still being obstinate. He's still being stubborn. His heart is still hardened. And the very last plague, which is the most severe, in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 14, and it shall be chapter 13, verse 15. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So the firstborn plague, that's the last one that God presented to Moses, or that God presented to Pharaoh, that firstborn plague, the death of the firstborn. Verse 29, Exodus 12, verse 29. We'll read that before we move on. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. He didn't miss one person. From the throne to the dungeon to the cattle, the firstborn of all those that belonged to the Egyptians, the Lord slew. Why did he do that?
You reap what you sow. Pharaoh messed with his firstborn.
Yeah, he refused to let. And the issue is this: it's the service. He told Pharaoh that Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let him go that he may serve me. Because he refused to let them go, he works up to this. He doesn't do it as the first plague. He could have ended this from the very first plague, couldn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, he has power to do that. He waits till the 10th plague and slays all of Pharaoh's firstborn from the throne down to the cattle to teach him a lesson. And he barely gets that lesson, because after they find out the children, back to 14, after they find out the children of Israel are in the wilderness, he thinks, I can get them. He says, now they're cornered. I can catch them in the wilderness. Chapter 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? After all they've seen, all the plagues that they've experienced, well, all the plagues that the Egyptians have experienced, none of these things happened to the Hebrews. After all these signs that they see, all the judgments, and they still have doubt. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Not all of Israel is Israel. I'm going to pull that back up. Somebody told me.
I was just talking about those people who still didn't believe.
Yes, I'm going to pull it up. Somebody told me last week, you know, you can pull that back up, you know. So I'm going to pull it back up. Not all of Israel is Israel. Those mixed multitudes creating issues. Okay. Well, that would be later on. They could create an issue. But these are the Hebrews saying that. The Egyptians, the mixed multitude, they couldn't say that you brought us out to die. They couldn't say this. They couldn't say, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? That's not the Egyptians saying, let us alone. That we may, when Moses and Aaron come in, they're not coming in to liberate Egyptians. Egyptians are not part of his firstborn people. So when they come in, they're looking at the Hebrews, Moses' brethren. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And this is part of the I am that they've been witnessing up to this point. This is part of God being Jehovah to them. All these things they are witnesses of. If that was me, I would have just kept going with Moses. You know, we can look back and say, we can see all the things that they did wrong, everything that they should have done. We can always look back with hindsight and say, shame on them.
Oh, yeah. Yet, they sinned in a perfect environment with Adam and Eve, so we can't really say too much.
No, we can't. But think about it.
We'd be right with them.
We are. In our time, we do things. Go back, track back in your life and see, have we always done the things that the Lord wanted? Have we always believed? Have we always been strong in faith? No.
Just like we're sitting here shaking our heads about them, and probably, you know, angels sitting around watching us learning about today's dispensation and everything. They're probably sitting there every time we mess up, just shaking that head.
Hold your hand in chapter 14. Look back at Peter. one way or another, we are going to falter because we are not that perfect image right now. 1 Peter chapter 1.
Back to the redemption of the purchased possession.
Right. We have opportunity. The privilege we have is the opportunity to perfect, where we're perfecting holiness. That's the process. We're able to make mature decisions with the information we have and the power that's in us. We're able to make decisions and carry those decisions out. But because of the struggle, because of that dichotomy within us, we don't always choose his will over our will. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesy of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. When the angels see these men in Peter's day, Paul's day, these men preaching the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, they look and say, wow, how is it that these men are empowered? How is it that the Holy Ghost could come down in those men and dwell in those men? You don't think that's a puzzle to them?
Mm-hmm.
Mind-boggling to them? Oh, sure it is. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. For if they, verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now, in the passage here, they tasted the powers of the world to come. That was demonstrated by those miraculous events, being demonstrated through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in those men demonstrated the powers of the world to come. So they were without excuse. They could not say, we didn't know. We didn't see it. We weren't aware that you were here. We weren't convinced that you were the one. The scripture said that they were infallible proofs. They couldn't deny it. It was just a hard heart that they had. Just like Pharaoh, God gives Pharaoh the voices of the signs. The people in Jesus' day, Paul's day, Peter's day, they had voices also, prophets prophesying. One verse, 1 Peter chapter 1. They couldn't deny these things. Well, they could, but it would be in total disbelief and total hardness of heart. And I said 1 Peter, but 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were what? Verse 21, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in them gave them the words to speak, gave them the prophecy to speak, as well as demonstrated the miraculous events that they demonstrated. He empowered them. You said, now that's their day. That's how the Holy Spirit worked in their day. But the same Spirit is in us. And He enables us that we can say, not my will, but thy will. Now, you're not going to have the miraculous events, but it's just as miraculous. It's just as miraculous for you to do right with the word as they did healing the sick and raising the dead. You say, what? I said, it's no less a miracle than us yielding to the Holy Spirit to do right than for them to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk. It's the same power, just being manifested in a different way. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. You remember that passage in the Gospels, and the Lord said it. He says, what's easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk? He said, what's easier? He said, but just so you know that I have the power, then he tells the man to take up his bed and walk. Galatians chapter 5, start at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Where is he? Where is the Spirit? Where is he today?
Indwelling the believer.
Okay. He says, well, let me elaborate on that statement. Where is he today? Indwelling?
In us.
Okay, where is he today? Indwelling?
In the believers.
Okay. Where is he today? Indwelling? Somebody gonna get it. Where is he today? Indwelling?
How about temples not made with hands?
Okay. Yep. You're smoking hot. Where is he today? Indwelling?
His body.
Okay. That's great. Where is he today? He's indwelling. Come on.
Us.
Okay. That's, oh man, you're smoking hot. Where is he today? He's indwelling.
I give up.
Come on, Frank. We're not mind readers. You're looking for something specific we get.
Yeah. This is, it's so, so, so simple. You're so, so close. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and I said, where is he? Where is the Spirit?
And in our flesh.
Yes.
In Christ, the body of Christ.
Okay. Yeah, okay, all right, I give up. Where is he? Today? I know, and when I say this, you're going to say, oh, yeah, of course. Well, it's not of course, because that's not the first thing we thought of. This right. I say then, walk in the Spirit, where is he today? In me, personally.
Oh, true.
Make it personal. You can't say in the believers. No, in me. Yes. In me personally. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Being led of the Spirit is hearing that voice and letting that voice take you where he says you should go. For example, in Pharaoh's day, the voice told Pharaoh, let my people go. So if Pharaoh was being led by the voice, what would he do?
He would have let the people go.
He would let them go. The first time or the second time?
First time.
Okay. So he heard the voice 10 times. And how many times was he led by the voice?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Now he says to us today, this I say, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. And he gives the works of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, do we? Yes, we do. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is, let us be concerned, consumed with spiritual things. I liken this to window shopping. If you ladies, you go to the store, you go to the mall maybe, and when you walk in, you're walking through the store and you are consumed with the items that are on display. You're looking at all those items. You're feeling the fabric, maybe looking at the design. Your mind is occupied with the things that you see. That walk, the walking is where we get peripateo. Walk around. Look around, look at these things, enjoy these things. That's what he's saying. Walk in the Spirit. Find out what the spiritual things are and be consumed, concerned with those things. Walk in them. Now, I don't know how we got over there. Back to Exodus. I'm not sure why we even went there, but we're back in Exodus now. And Exodus, I think Jenny said verse 10, so we'll go back to chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. So Pharaoh has a choice. He could have let him go. 1 through 10, he had the opportunity to listen. But he did not. And now he's heard that they're in the wilderness, entrapped in the wilderness. And he says, I got them. Now we got them. Not only did the children of Israel forget what the Lord had done for the positive, I am being positive. The Egyptians forgot what the Lord had done, I am, on the negative. You know when he says, I am, he says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. He's showing them, the Hebrews, that he's gracious and merciful, and he's supplying everything they need to get out of Egypt unscathed. On the Egyptians, he's gracious and merciful to them in this aspect. He hasn't punished them to the end yet. But here it is. It's over now. Chapter 14, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Verse 14, 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The grace is up. The mercy is up. When Pharaoh comes out this time, this is the last time. chapter 14, verse 24, 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." They just figured that out. Who did they think was fighting for them through the 1 through 10 plague? It wasn't Moses and Aaron. It was the God behind Moses and Aaron, who was greater than the God behind Pharaoh and his servants. Verse 14:30. Thus, and you can go back and read what happened. 14:30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. How long that's going to last?
Not long.
Not long. But for what it's worth, it's recorded here. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So much so, after all these things being delivered through the Passover, they get out in chapter 15. Then sang, chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." That was when he first started. He says, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he says, "Tell him I am." Now they realize the Lord is his name. Jehovah is his name. I am is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency hast thou overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow thy wind, the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." And I read all that because they can look back now. They take these experiences in. And now they are introduced. They are familiar with I am. They don't have to ask now, what is his name? They know his name. And they're singing now to his name. Glory to his name. they're singing the song of Moses, which is the song of praise to I Am, the God now that they've seen deliver, the God that they've seen destroy. There shouldn't be any doubt now what he can do. Go back to chapter 12, and we'll kind of wind it down here. Chapter 12, these people are coming out. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Passover. We didn't cover this, but we'll just throw this in here. Chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. His firstborn is coming out, and he changes the whole calendar. He says, your past now, forget about it. This is going to be, when you come out, this is going to be the first month of the year to you. Isn't that something? The day of your salvation is kind of like your birthday. You may be 40 years old when you get saved, but in the Lord's sight, this is your first day, your birthday. So you're a 1 year old Christian, but you could be a 40 year old person. So now you can count your years up. You may say, I'm 60 years old, but I've been saved for 30 years. So in the physical, you're 60 years old, but spiritually, you're a 30-year-old believer. That's what Paul says in Corinthians, that the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is having birthdays. He's being renewed day by day. So he's getting older as your outward man. He's going downhill. But as the inward man, as he gets older and older, he gets stronger and stronger. He's getting stronger and stronger positionally, but he should be getting stronger and stronger in us practically also. So it's nothing like a 50-year-old baby. Hopefully that's not us. I went to see a lady yesterday. They brought up a 21-year-old autistic child. And he was, Blake, he was probably about your height. And a big guy, and he couldn't do anything that they wanted him to do. You think he'd be a great help to them? They're elderly, but if they said, hey, go pick that wheelbarrow up, he couldn't put it together to do that efficiently. So all the muscles that he had, all the strength that they could have used, it was no service to them because he couldn't take basic instruction. Well, the Lord probably looks at us, and when the time comes where we ought to be teachers, then we have need that one teach us. We're still babies. He looks at us and says, well, I should be able to use this person to my glory. And he says, well, I can't do anything with them because they're still dull of hearing. They can't take instruction yet. But it's a new beginning. When you're a believer, the moment you trust Christ, it's a new start. So thank God for the past that's gone, all the shortcomings, the flaws that we had back then, the skeletons, they're all gone. This is a new start. This, chapter 12, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. What did it say about the number? This is the first month of the year to you. In this first month of this year, you on the 10th day take a lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, you know this is a type of Christ, right? The Passover. As Paul says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And when he sees the blood of that lamb, he's going to pass over. When he destroys the firstborn in Egypt, and when he sees the blood of that firstborn, he's going to pass over that house. Now, all these things they witness. All these things, that's what they're singing about in chapter 15. Great lessons that they've learned, should have learned. All these things. Chapter 15, start at verse 16 again. Chapter 15, verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as steel as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So when they get through singing this song about the Lord delivering them and going into the sanctuary, they get out into the wilderness in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. What do you think is going to happen?
Complaining, loss of faith.
Well, let's strike what we know. Let's strike what we've read. You're with them. You're coming out with the multitude. We've just seen all these things, Passover, all the plagues, the Passover, the Red Sea triumph. You just sang the song. 3 days later, you get to the wilderness and you don't have any water. What should be the reaction that you think that they would have?
God will provide.
God will provide. We just tell the Lord, hey, we need some water, and he gets the water, right? It's not like it's 30 days later or 300 years later. It's 3 days. 3 days from the victory. I can still rehearse the song in my mind. I still remember the song of Moses. I'm humming the song of Moses as we're walking. And 3 days, and they've already, let's see what they said. 3 days, chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, the Lord is now introducing another 10, but this time is for the nation, is for Israel. This is another 10 events that he's looking for his honor again, but now it's from his own people. And we'll have to see how that turns out as we go along. Or you can get a sneak peek and read those things in chapter 15 on forward, and you can see how they responded to those things. But now he's looking for honor from his own people, whom he just delivered, who he just triumphed gloriously for over the enemy, who he just redeemed, liberated from bondage. And we'll see how, after 3 days, if this unbelief and ungratefulness, if it continues, we'll see what happens. So again, these things are just we may cover all those. I don't know if they're necessary to cover all those things. The main point is seeing how the Lord delivers them through Moses. Moses being a type of the Lord, the deliverer. Moses being, read this in Corinthians, and then we'll close with this one, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, and this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, writing to the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I thought it was the Lord. I thought it was Jehovah. Paul must have made a typo when he wrote the Corinthian letter. What does that tell you about Christ?
He's Jehovah.
He is I am, isn't he? He is. But they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Moses was just the servant, as the net said. He was just the servant for Jehovah. Jehovah, I am, would say, you listen to Moses. I'm telling him what to do. You listen to him, and you're listening to me. If you follow his instructions, the benefit that I have, you'll receive. So they all identified with Moses. Whatever you say, Moses, that's what we'll do. Whatever the Lord tells you to tell us, then we'll do that. Whatever the Lord tells you, Moses, to tell us, we'll do that. Because we know that you're his spokesman. So that's we'll leave it at that until we go on with Moses. But he's God's man. And he's the mediator between God and the people. And they must listen to him because he has the commandments of the Lord. And we'll see how that works out for them. So we're going to stop there in chapter 15. Pick up again next time and move down a little further with Moses. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we had to study your word again. We pray in our meditations that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, that we might not just get a history lesson, but we might have some practical instruction that we draw from your word. And we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.